you know, you want people to like you, or you want to be perceived as something. So being vulnerable or opening yourself up, you're letting people have the chance to maybe fire shots, which actually is way stronger than the other. But truly believing that's a whole different thing. Like, you hear people say that, and people feel comfortable in saying that, or, you know, they'll be like, yeah, I understand what you're saying, or but it's the belief and the actual feeling of being able to do that is a whole different ballgame, I reckon.
This episode of the Humans of Agriculture podcast was recorded on Gadigal people's country of the Eora Nation, and I'd like to extend my respects to their elders past, present and emerging. And I'd like to extend those respects to the traditional owners of the country wherever you may be listening to the podcast.
You may have heard of Ned Hannigan. If not, he's a professional rugby player. His rugby career has taken him around the world so far, playing more than 50 games for the Waratahs, 25 games for the Wallabies, the highest honour, and has spent a bit of time playing in Japan as well. But Ned's a bloke from the bush. Home is Pasadena, the family property not far from Coonamble in New South Wales. Ned, I'm pretty keen today to talk about a few things: footy, farming, leadership, lessons that you've had kind of along this journey as a professional athlete. But what's been happening?
Yeah, no, thanks for that intro. Not used to that. Nah, thanks for having me. Not a lot's been happening just of recent. We got knocked out of a quarter final 2 weeks ago with the Tars over there in Hamilton against the Chiefs, and did a bit of celebrating back here, and then the long weekend got back for the Coonamble Rodeo, which was a bit of fun. Didn't find myself on the back of a bronc, which is good.
Was that an option?
Coach was happy with that. I showed him a few videos and he was scratching his head, but no, it's not an option. I'm definitely one that's just standing in the sides, on the sides and watching that. Things are good. Poking along all right.
There was a training run. I saw you dressed up as a bit of a cowboy. You had your big hat and a few other things on there. What's the story behind that?
Just a bit of fun. It was our last Leichhardt game, and the crowds there have been unreal. So the boys get a bit pumped to play at Leichhardt, and NFL and NBA and stuff sort of rock up a bit in, you know, fresh drip. And the call came out, business attire, and I thought, put some black leathers on and a cowboy hat and go as Rip from Yellowstone. But it's just a bit of fun.
Maybe a glimpse of the job you want, not the one you've got.
Yeah, that's it. That's right. Yeah. No, I'm a big fan of Rip. He's a bit of a lord.
Absolutely. What's it been like coming in back into the into the Waratahs team? You came back only for kind of the back end of the season. Is it weird coming back into a playing group as an outsider?
Yeah. It was different. I was supposed to be back about round four, but COVID and a few things over in Japan delayed my return. But, I was so excited to get back. Watching from afar, the Tars have been going a bit better than what they were last year. And, just excited to be back. There's a few new faces in there that I hadn't met before, knew, you know, not much of. But there's a few blokes there that played a fair bit of footy with. Jakey Gordon and Alex Newsome, a few blokes that have been around for a fair while. And I knew DC, the coach, and he's, you know, coaches that came across with him. Pugliasi is the forwards coach, and I knew him a little bit. And yeah, so a few familiar faces, a few new faces, but overall just so excited to be back and getting into it.
What's the vibe been like in footy? I'd say from the outside, it feels like rugby might be starting to get a little bit more enthusiasm about it, but it's certainly been dropping off for a while. But you've had the chance to go and play overseas and see that. How does Australia compare?
Yeah, I think, well, Japan's, predominantly, they're massive with baseball and they're quite into their soccer and things like that. But with the Rugby World Cup there in 2019, it sort of, you know, brought a lot of attention to rugby in Japan. I think rugby here in Australia, the thing that which people sometimes don't realise, but we've got, it's such a competitive market. You know, you've got the AFL, the NRL, Big Bash when it's on, you know, the cricket, the NRL, rugby union. Like, there's just such a, which is great, you know, for us as people that are watching it and things, but sometimes the space to be on your TVs and things. But I think the reason why rugby's on the up now, I reckon, is just purely from results. Like, you know, the Wallabies are going better, the Tars are going better. So if you're winning, people just hop on the bandwagon and just get around it. So, it's nice. And I think definitely playing at Leichhardt was an awesome atmosphere out there. They just turned up. It was, you know, 18,000 packed in around Leichhardt, which was just... I've never had anything really like it. It was pretty cool.
In terms of if you weren't playing professional rugby, what other sport would you want to play?
Sport? I don't know whether it's just because I've been watching my mother do this at the Canal Radio just recently, but probably the camp drafting, hey, I reckon it's unreal. I'd just travel through New South Wales and Queensland and across the top end and all that sort of stuff, just camp drafting, have my gooseneck and, just feed it the cogs and just chase camp drafts, I reckon. That'd be the go.
Maybe over in America too.
Over there and, really get proper Yellowstone vibes then.
Yeah, then you can be ripped for real.
Yeah, that's right.
Tell me a little bit more about your hometown and the farm and, what that means to you. What's it like?
Yeah. What it means to me, I could go on forever. I suppose, I've just always been, so fortunate that, obviously got the opportunity to come down here when I was pretty young. But I've always had those ties with the land and just enjoy going home. And I think, I don't know why in particular it just revitalises me, I reckon, refreshes me. And, there's a bit of a corner. We live about 50 k's out of town. There's one corner just before we get to our front gate. And there's something about going around the corner I just love. I just feel like anything that might be worrying you or, you just go around the corner and you just think, oh, I'm back in, God's country, the land of milk and honey. and I don't know, I've just always loved it. And I just love that. That part, that I can kind of carry with me, I suppose. Even anywhere I go in the world, I just always know that Canamble's home, and it's where I grew up. It's, everyone just, well, not everyone, but I'm just so lucky that I just still love home and love visiting and seeing, my folks and the Canamble community and things like that. No, it's just great.
What's your earliest kind of happy memory, like back in and around farming in that area?
I don't know. I've got a few memories of feeding potty calves, or being on the back of a horse, and mum I kind of sometimes I get not sure whether it's my memory or the home videos. I'm not. Sometimes I'm, recalling videos that I've seen. But I remember trips in on the bus. It'd be an hour in, and we always used to, play silly buggers with Pat the bus driver. Just things like that, just little things, I think. A lot of the time I walk around here in Sydney, it's just small things that remind me of home a little bit. A lot of good memories.
You had to leave home behind to come to school down in the city. Was that, were you dragging your heels coming down to Sydney, or were you pretty excited?
I was pretty excited. Something new. I've always been a bit of a confident type of person. Nothing sort of phases me a great deal, for better or for worse at times. But, I was pretty excited to come down. I think, it was something that, my father did and his brothers did. And I always, if I end up half the man my old man is, I'd be poking along all right. So he's just always been the role model for me. And I think to follow in his footsteps, I knew as a 12-year-old that's like what I wanted to do, I guess. But being here and, I can remember about the end of the first week and, there was no, running out the back door and jumping on a bike or on a horse or, we used to run around porcelain bins and to the dismay of the old man and, just run around and make, noises like thunder and a bit of stuff. Like, that stuff just wasn't happening anymore. So I started to miss home a bit, but... like I sort of said before, I just always loved going home and it just always made me feel happy. So the opportunity to be down here and try and, you know, make my parents proud, and that sort of thing was always a pretty big focus from a young age. But yeah, so I enjoyed boarding school. It was a heap of fun.
Have a bit of fun, but stay true to how your parents would want you to behave.
Yeah. I still got a few bloody, I got reprimanded a bit in the younger years, that's for sure. Climbing up on beams across, you know, sandstone building and things like that. Hopefully I, learnt a bit of discipline anyway there.
Were you always like a fairly talented sportsman, and did it start to become pretty obvious in those later years of school that, you were better than the average punter on the footy field?
Not really, no. I always enjoyed sport. I just climbed into everything. And my old man would always say, I was lucky enough to go on the bus into school with my two younger brothers and then later on my younger sister. But he'd always say, stick up for one another and try your best. And I remember, you know, you just, summer sport would be on, or you'd be in the classroom, or you'd be out in the back ovals, and it was just all about trying your best. And I know it seems cliched, but sometimes that actually gets pretty hard and tedious, like day to day. So, no, I just tried, just had fun with my mates and climbed in the footy. I think it was in about the 13 Ds or Cs in year 7, and I did a bit of an injury. So I missed about, I think I might have missed actually every comp game. About 8 weeks and a hyperextension, and then year 8 I did an MCL, so I didn't play a comp game. Then the 15s, the first comp game, got injured, did a shoulder, didn't play the rest of the season. The first 3 years I hardly played any footy, but I was doing heaps of other things like athletics and swimming, and was tennis and a bit of rowing, and so just climbed and everything. But I think later on, I hit puberty and got a bit bigger and, lost all the puppy fat. I got into the boat in year 11 year 12 did the same thing, I suppose. And, it was just all about just climbing into it and going hard, I guess. And, after school I sort of all finished up. You know, I went on a bit of a tour with the Australian schoolboys and stuff like that. So it was all... just had a hell of a time, and playing footy, like, it's something I love doing. So I just thought, how good's this? But then it was always, I was just going to go home. The under 20s at the TARS was sort of, it was a bit of a pathway, and wasn't sure whether I was going to do it. My old man was like, if you don't do it, you'll regret it later on, and just might as well go down there and give it a nudge. And we are, I suppose. I'm still here.
Haven't left.
We had a bit of a stint overseas, but so still giving it a bit of a nudge. But that's kind of how it all came about, I suppose. I didn't really have these big aspirations or certainty it's what I wanted to do. It was just all about, just giving it, you know, your best shot, I guess.
And in terms of, like, the interest in ag and farming, like you said there, that was kind of the plan, just to go home. Like, have you had different crossroads at times where you think, oh, far out, I'm just going to throw the towel and I'm going home?
Yeah, I've never thought, probably never thought of throwing the towel in, but I've thought of, you know, kind of just saying, oh, it's enough. The hardest time, I reckon, for me was, I was a bit dry at home at times, and you'd be talking to your old man, and we always talk about the rain, like it's just something, I don't know, you nearly never talk about the weather down here, or recently, but as soon as you'd go across the mountains, like, geez, today's a cracking day, when are the rains coming, and just a bit like that. So, but I think, and as I think people sort of understand, it's can be a bit dire in times of drought, and if I'm, you know, talking to family or talking to friends from about the district, you can kind of just sense that it's just not that good, and unfortunately that has different impacts on people. But so that was definitely hard, because I was down here kind of sheltered from that. I think you kind of, well, I was definitely looking at Dad and people in the area that are just slogging away, and I'm here, you know, sometimes I'm in South Africa sometimes, or you get to play in front of, I don't know, 30,000, and it doesn't quite feel like reality, what you know, it's just a bit different. So that part I really struggled with. And then my old man went through a bit of a phase of mental health, which like rocked him like a fair bit. So again, you kind of down here, you know, I know mum's at home, worried about him a little bit. And so that part was pretty hard because again, you kind of, you're removed from it a little bit and you want to help, but you feel a bit helpless. So yeah, there's been lots of times. And then obviously with professional sport, there's the scrutiny and times when teams aren't going so well. So you ride the highs, ride the lows. And I think the rock bottom, you like you say, you kind of think, well, I just want to go home because that's like my happy place. But yeah, so not necessarily throwing the towel in, but you kind of feel as though sometimes you should be there rather than here. But I think talking about that stuff, and I'm pretty open with it, you get people that are close to you sort of help you along the way.
Did you get many of your mates like asking questions that period of particularly 18 but into 2019 when drought was on front page, Canamble was hit extremely hard, like a lot of New South Wales? Was it part of the conversation down here or not so much?
Yeah, it is. I think like I sort of mentioned it, people understand it a little bit because, you know, through media channels, but so they'll ask you questions, but the real crux of it is the people and how they're going. And I think that sort of doesn't get voiced as much. And I think, you know, there's obviously a lot of people that are trying to make that better and give, you know, frameworks around, you know, to help those people in, you know, that might be struggling. But I think that's it's interesting. I had someone say to me the other day, well, not the other day, it might have been a couple of years ago, but, you know, was stressed out about something and I thought, oh, you know, that's, you know, that would be hard or whatever. But then I remember thinking about, like, blokes that are sowing, you know, $4 million worth of wheat and then you just see it rot into the earth. Like, that stress. You know, I think sometimes you're on the footy field and the, you know, heat of the battle and things get a bit hard, but, like, that kind of stuff helps me a little bit because you think, well, like, is it that bad what's going on here at the moment in comparison to other things? So, yeah, the perspective I think you can get from home and the people there is, yeah, it's helped me along the way anyway. I sort of went away from your question there.
No, yeah. Politician.
Just waffling.
No, like, and I reckon it's in perspective, such an important piece. And I reckon that's going to flow nicely to this piece. Because so the drought at home was tough and you were going through, I'll say, you were missing out on the teams you'd played, the Wallabies in 2018. You then missed out in 2019.
Yeah.
Things aren't like going well at home in terms of the drought, mental health, etc. The community's really struggling. Like, how does that, did that play on your mind? Like, what was happening there in 2019 for you?
Yeah, I think that like that period, I did a fair bit of reflecting on it, I guess. I think I was in camp before they went to South Africa and they cut the squad and the coach at the time, Michael Checker, said, look, we're not going to take you, but we want you to stay fit. So I hung on to that. I was like, yeah, you know, who needs me to stay fit? But yeah. I think that was probably, in hindsight, the news that kind of meant, well, you know, you're sort of leaning towards not being back in the group. I went back and played for Randwick and, yeah, got knocked clean out, broke my nose in five places, and that sort of any dream of trying to come back was sort of squashed as well. But, yeah, I suppose on reflection I've learnt that you can't get complacent in, you know, in a situation, particularly in professional sport, because there's always there's so many moving parts in a dynamic environment like it is. And yeah, so that's probably what I took from it, just always try your best and make sure that you're keeping accountable for things on and off the field. And I probably got a bit complacent around certain things that were going on. And but yeah, like you said, the perspective of things helped as well, because you've got to try and keep a bit optimistic. And you know, when you're getting dropped, like, no one likes getting dropped. You know, you're getting told that you're not good enough. So, yeah, I think perspective and making sure that, you know, things outside of footy are sort of poking along right as well.
In big news from us, we're excited to welcome Rabobank as a partner of Humans of Agriculture. So, who have we got from Rabo this week?
G'day, My name's Angus Gidley-Baird. I'm the Senior Animal Proteins Analyst with Rabobank Australia. Just like our great friends at Humans of Agriculture, we also have a podcast channel. And this month, I've caught up with my colleague, Lance Zimmerman from the US, to understand what's going on in that US cattle market. The US is very important for Australia. It regained its position as our largest beef export market last year. And what happens over the next 12 to 24 months over there is going to have a key influence on the Australian cattle market. Tune in to listen. Search for Rabo Research Australia on your favourite podcast platform and keep up with the latest agri trends. See you at Beef.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Like, I don't know, every kid has this dream of being a professional athlete. Like, you guys are on a pedestal in terms of how you're seen in society, but you're also so heavily scrutinised. Like, you jaywalk at the lights and you might be in strife. You're out drinking, like, you're in strife. But then off the back of that too, like, if your own form as well is kind of falling, like, it can get to a pretty ugly place, I reckon.
Yeah, no, it definitely can. I think social media has probably been the big one in recent times. But, yeah, it is an interesting one because I think as you get a bit older, and I'm by no stretch of the imagination a veteran, but you kind of not get used to it but don't worry as much about people's opinions on things. But that learning or that understanding only comes through – you know, probably having a few dark times yourself and how that affects your game. And, I feel so sorry for young people or for young professional athletes in particular because they can get thrown in to things maybe underdone or early or whatever and get scrutinised. And coming from an environment where, from school usually or from a 20s program, where they're dominating and doing really well, that so you're playing bad and, like, we're our own worst critic. Like, we, you know, we're so critical in our performances. The coaches are critical in our performances. But if you have outsiders always prodding and sending abuse and things like that, it does. It has, like, detrimental effects. And I think young people, young athletes now, they need to, like, be comfortable with talking to blokes that potentially have gone through that a little bit and understand that, you know, it doesn't matter. Like, you don't, you're playing football and or you're playing cricket or whatever you're doing, but they're just targeting, like, that's not you as the person. Like, you're a totally separate person away from the game. And because you might be having a bad game doesn't mean you're a bad person. It doesn't matter, you know, how much crap you might cop in the media or all that type of stuff. Like, it's just so important to understand, but that's hard to truly believe, you know. Yeah. It's like saying, you should only worry about what you can control. It's like, yeah, like, I understand that, but it's also a situation that sucks.
Yeah.
So being able to deal with it and having a close circle of people that you know, or individuals or coaches or that you trust and value their opinion and they'll be, you know, be telling you the absolute truth the whole time, be upright honest and all that type of stuff. So, yeah, there's lots of different things around that space where I think programs can get better at, but also just older blokes talking to younger blokes and, yeah, kind of putting an arm around or something of the likes.
Yeah.
It's interesting, mate, because it's something I think it's changing a little bit. Like, I know blokes that have finished early, you know, they've just gone, nah, I've had enough of this. Like, I don't need to lie down in bed and think that Joe Bloggs, who doesn't know anything about the game or how to play it, but he thinks I suck. Like, that just builds up, and he's like, I'm just better off not playing.
Yeah.
So you think, well, that's, like, it shouldn't be like that. But, yeah.
It's funny, like, coming back to, I think, just voicing it and talking about it. Like, it's amazing even after, say, like, the podcast, like, over recent weeks talking about different things, whether it's been like a blip in confidence, and like I went through one, I've talked about that a few times, like last year, Anna Spear, who was on the podcast, she talked about it in her career and kind of how it affected her. But like, it was amazing sitting across from her and I was like, oh well, like, she's been through it and look where she is. And then you get messages from people and they're like, oh, I've gone through that, and it was just awesome to like hear it. I think so much of what I feel is changing in terms of how we talk and communicate and carry ourselves like this
100%
vulnerability piece nearly coming in, but just being real, hey?
Like, yeah, just be real, 100%. Just be legit.
Yeah.
But it's hard. Like, it can be hard at times.
And throwing yourself out there is like such an interesting and scary like aspect.
Well, yeah. It kind of goes back to that, you know, you want people to like you or you want to be perceived as something. So being vulnerable or opening yourself up, you're letting people have the chance to maybe fire shots, which actually is way stronger than the other. But truly believing that's a whole different thing. Like, you hear people say that and people feel comfortable in saying that, or, you know, they'll be like, yeah, I understand what you're saying, or but it's the belief and the actual feeling of being able to do that is a whole different ballgame, I reckon.
Yeah. It's one thing I like constantly kind of come up against, I guess, when I'm chatting to people and trying to get them to share their story and chat about who they are and what they do and why they do it.
Like, yeah.
So often, and particularly young people, they're like, oh, either I don't have a story or like I don't feel comfortable because of the negativity that will come from it. Like, you've sat in on both sides of the fence. You come from an ag background, but you have faced your fair scrutiny and kind of commentary over the years. Like, what's your advice to people when it comes to talking about what they, who they are and what they do, particularly like in a crucial industry like ag?
No, I think to get people to really resonate with or believe you or follow you, you need to be real with them. You know, agriculture, but also any industry, having the strength to just say something, whether it's, you know, like you say, it might offend someone or might be taken but just being real. I don't think anyone in the long run can really be off you if you're just being who you are, and be proud of who you are, because, you know, and you hear this all the time as well, like, we're all unique, and it's a bit cliche, but and if some people, you rub some people the wrong way, that's fine. Like, you don't have to, no one has to like everyone, and, you know, you don't have to be liked by everyone. And having an understanding of that and being strong and, you know, kind of brave enough to just cop that and just head where you're going to go.
Yeah.
But it's hard to do. Like, I feel, you know, like you're saying it, but it's, you know, I still find it hard to do. Like, I feel like I'm a pretty loud sort of character, but, you know, sometimes you kind of think, oh, you know, I should be pulling back, or, yeah, exactly. So,
wear the hat and something.
Yeah, pull it down. Yeah, corner of a pub and just sit down.
Yeah. I reckon the best advice someone ever said to me was when it came to like throwing yourself out there, like, well, if you wouldn't take advice from them, don't take criticism. And I was like, geez, that's good.
It is good. But again, still hard. It's still hard.
You got to then go on action.
You're still hearing it. But no, you're right. And I think you just get better at hearing it and ignoring it and backing the people that have been in your corner for a while.
How's the footy system? Like, I heard someone talk a few years ago around, like, they were with the Brumbies, and they were talking about how the preseason had changed. It had been from going like, we've got to be the fittest team, blah, 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 to just being like, yes, we need to be fit, but we also need to be connected. And I should know if we're packing down in a scrum, I should know a bit more about Tom or Michael next to me, like, more than just Michael from footy. Has the cultures like over the years changed in terms of how you guys, what it's like in the environment?
I don't know whether cultures have changed. I think how a culture's sort of bred and facilitated is different, primarily from a head coach, like how they kind of do it a little bit, and the senior players. So it's interesting you say that, because I think 30
Brumbies are shit.
Not at all. They've actually been running real strong for the last sort of, definitely 10 years. But, yeah, you're 30 years ago when you were, you know, in professional sort of realms of sport, I think fitness was a huge thing. If you were the fittest and the strongest and the fastest or whatever, quite often you'd do well. And you still do that now, but the playing field's kind of leveled out a lot because S&Cs are all, you know, elite with their knowledge on how they're, you know, individualising programs, nutritionists are on board, head coaches, you know, well, particularly in rugby, a lot of the time play similar shapes or similar tactic type of things. Mm-hmm. Like there's a lot of similarities between team to team. There's a lot of differences, but you can kind of understand, like I've been with the Tars and I watch, say, the Blues and Crusaders are in the final this weekend. You can look at those teams and I could kind of tell you what they're trying to do in terms of shape. So the real piece is the connection. Like how hard will you go for the bloke that's next to you? And that's how you're talking about with the guy in the scrum. If you genuinely feel like a brotherly bond with him, you'll like fear letting him down. And there's something very powerful about that if you've got 15 blokes like that. And I think a really, well, the way to do that is see someone in a vulnerable position or work hard with them. So a pre-season, you're getting flogged, but you know that he's getting flogged with you.
Yeah.
So there's something, it's like an, you don't talk because you can't, but there's like this feeling of when you're running and it's, I hear blokes that have retired and they still talk about that, like you're getting off the ground with another bloke and you don't have to say, come on, bro, like let's go. It's just, you're just there doing it together. And then on the field, you kind of back that bloke's, you've seen him, you've worked hard with him. But then also the opportunity to put someone in a chair and get them to talk about their story or tell you something that you might not know about them that puts them in a bit of a vulnerable position. You can't help but feel closer. You know, like if you're, someone is ever telling you something that's pretty heavy, you just feel like giving them a hug. Like it's just that emotional connection. And I think that's what like successful teams around the world are doing now, I reckon. Like they're just so connected on an emotional level that they'll just do anything for the bloke next to them.
Yeah, wow.
Mm.
What's when you've played in different, I know we're focusing so much on footy, but it's I just find it fascinating, particularly from the mindset point of view. Like,
yeah.
Japan, so like playing in Asian countries versus like Australia, is it
so different?
Yeah. From the food to
Food, culture, people, language. There's a lot different over there, but I think that's you learn so much from different things. I definitely learnt that, you know, kind of touches on that winning losing thing. Like I'll always be a competitor and just want to win, you know, like I hate losing, but if you do lose, you're not a bad person. So over there, I was playing for a team that wasn't 100% professional. We were playing teams that were 100% professional. So they were all company workers, engineers or sales or whatever. They would come in pretty similar to Shoot Shield here in Sydney, really, like a club type of setup. And then there was a group of professional foreigners, I suppose, that would train during the day and then we would come together of an afternoon with the workers. So they are playing, like the Japanese culture in the most part is they just work so hard and tirelessly and it's like that real, like face, you know, if you're seen working hard, then you're a good person. So they just all just sit on computers or sit there working with clients for hours on end and then they've got to come and play footy.
Obvious stuff.
But they just love playing footy. Otherwise, they would never do it. So they just love the beer at an end of a game.
Yeah.
Win, lose or draw. Like lose by 30 or 40. And I think, you know, I still hate that. But a part of me has realised that, you know, that can happen. So you do everything you possibly can and try your best to make sure that doesn't happen again, and it still might happen again. So there's no point, like, you know, I talk about the highs and lows with sport. Like there's no point of being rock bottom and then just still trying to stamp yourself in the ground. Like the beauty of sport, you've got like next week to get better. So pull the socks up and tie the drawstring and get into it again, I suppose. I definitely learned that over there because we, you know, might go 2 or 3 weeks losing a game, and the last one might be, I think we lost to Shockey about 72-10 or something.
Jesus.
Which is a flogging, you know. But they got on the bus and it was a bit quiet for a bit, and they have a beer, and about half hour into the bus trip, it's like they kind of they care, but they kind of just leave it back at the park. And I think that there's something pretty special about that, because it's hard to do that. Yeah, it's real hard to do.
Yeah, no, and you just keep opening up Pandora boxes here, because it's such an interesting thing. Like, I've talked about it with a couple of people who I've worked with over the years have been semi-professional or professional athletes, and we always talk about this ag piece and like being like, and to your point before, really, like, I'd say Ben Crowe and his work with Ash Barty and the Tigers, Dylan Alcott, like separating who you are from what you do. And I was only chatting to someone about this morning, and I love it. But like in ag, I feel like there's such an opportunity for us to really, like, for farmers to take this mindset that you're talking about there from, say, the Japanese perspective, but really separate who you are and what you do. And it's like, be high performers in this field, but then kind of get away from it as well, because otherwise,
so important to have balance. You just need to have balance in life, because if you don't, and one part of your life is not where you perceived it should be or can be, or it once was somewhere and now it's not, you need something else. Otherwise, your esteem and value and things like that also go down. It shouldn't be like that. Like, that's not what it should be like.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, if a crop fails, a farmer might be, you know, just distraught, but you're not necessarily a bad person. Like, you might, I don't know, if you've got family or just other things in life, and making sure that, and that's hard. Like, it's the juggle of life, right? Like, you're trying to get a balance in it, but it's so important.
Yeah, bring it back to like what you can control, what you can't. Yeah, and like, I don't know, it's the nature of farming, isn't it? Where it's like,
it is got, a bit, the weather, the weather,
more things out of your control than it. So,
no, that's right.
What would you say has been like you look back, looking back on your career so far? There's still a few years to go, but what's
hopefully
been, unless you decide to chase the camp drafting
dream. He says, "Right, oh, no, mate, you've had enough. You're washed up."
That interview you gave the other day, mate, you better pack your bags. You're out.
No good.
What do you look back as being like a highlight or some of the highlights of being a professional footy player?
I think I've always treasured having people on the sideline supporting you. And I think the one that comes to mind straight away, I was in Japan playing, it was a Waratahs game against the Sunwolves at Chichibu Stadium there in Tokyo. And I was having a vanilla milkshake walking out of Starbucks. Was heading into the hotel and was with another team member. And I remember all sort of sense like a car pull up behind me. Like, we're walking into the foyer now, often they've got a bit of a track around. You know, I sensed it and sort of got out of the way a bit quicker, and the door swung open, and I just remember hearing this, "Oi!" And I was like, "Where the hell is that coming from?" You know, swung around, and my old man and my brother stepped out of the car, and I just remember feeling just a sense of, I don't know what it was. It was just felt so special. So that's definitely a highlight, and it's, I think, you know, there's been times on the footy field you celebrate wins and things, but I just think, those type of things and the smaller things that you get to experience as a professional athlete is something that I'll probably treasure and miss when it's all finished. The other one, like, it's obviously a dream is to play for the Wallabies and pull on the gold jersey, and being able to do that against Fiji was pretty special as well. It was a bit surreal. Everyone always says it, but it genuinely is. The whole week's just full tilt, and then the game's like, this is nuts. So that part was pretty special too.
What's it like, a different level, going from playing, like, yeah, say Waratahs and that level to then going Test rugby? Is it, yeah, is it much different?
Yeah, I think the, yeah, just short answer, yes. Like, it is just a whole different level, the pace and things. But I think the biggest difference is if you make a mistake at the elite level, you'll more often than not be under your posts and the other team's kicking for a conversion. Like, you don't get the opportunity because everything's happening a fair bit quicker, and that opposition are usually a bit handy with their skills and they're quicker and bigger, and you knock a ball on and you don't make that first up tackle, they are gone.
Yeah.
So the room for errors, that's why when particularly test matches, when it's 78th minute and it's like neck and neck, like it's full on, it's happening.
Yeah.
So yeah, like those are the sort of situations I was saying, you know, there's a bit of pressure there, but if you just somehow try and get a bit of perspective of a time there and think, well, hang on, like I can still catch a ball and I can still jump in a line out. It's just the 78th minute. But yeah, sometimes it's a bit hard to do that. Yeah.
Just find that breath.
Yeah, yeah, that's it.
So what does life after footy look like for you?
Oh.
Farming.
Yeah, I've been doing some ceiling work of this lately. Just lie down in bed and look at the ceiling and just try and ponder. Just ponder. I've never been a bloke to shut doors. I know what I want to do. No, I know what I don't want to do.
Yeah,
you know, I'm not going to be someone who's sitting on a computer hours on end or. I need to be talking to people and seeing people. I would, like I said, you know, home's always had a special part. I spent a bit of time there in between Japanese seasons. Did a bit of a trip up north and then spent, yeah, about 3 months or 4 months at home and just loved it. So, we'll see. We'll have to wait and see. I don't know where I'll end up. I might finish a career in France and just end up over there. I don't know. But,
there you go. Living on the beach somewhere.
Yeah, that's it. Bottom of Nice or, yeah.
Must be nice.
Just disappear. No, look, home's always, well, it's home, but I don't know. I don't really know, which is why I've been doing some ceiling work, because I feel like you should know, but you don't have to know.
Nah, you know what's
changed. There's got heaps of time, which is right. Yeah. That's what I'm telling myself anyway.
There's always options. Righto. Few quick questions here. One from a previous guest. Heavy one too. What does a good life look like to you?
Yeah. A good life.
Mm.
Yeah, well, geez. Happy. So whatever makes you happy. Healthy. And the people you love healthy, which is not always the case. But, yeah, I think if I'm fortunate enough to have kids and have a family, I think it would just be that side of it, having them protected and be healthy. I think that'd be a good life. Don't really have a location or a job or anything like that. But, about seventh year into a science degree, so a good life would have me finish that. But, I think just a happy, healthy one. And, yeah, I wish I could go in a bit more depth there, but whatever that looks like.
In terms of a question that you'd like me to ask a future guest, a chance to get back at someone one day.
Yeah.
What's a question you'd like me to ask him?
Well, I'm glad you give me a little short ball before this. Otherwise, I'd be sitting here pondering. Maybe to someone in the agricultural sort of realm of things, but if you could change a perspective in agriculture to the general population, what would it be? That might get them thinking a bit.
Mm. And you get the chance to go back to Joey's. It was Joey's, wasn't it?
Yeah.
There you go. Go back to Joey's and chat to the Year 10 students around a career in agriculture. Why should they think of agriculture as a potential career path?
I reckon I always... It's different for some people and how they see satisfaction in what they do. But I think for what I do with sport, like you work on something and you try and sharpen your tools so you can perform on a weekend. Having the ability to do that and then see yourself do it on a weekend, you feel satisfied. Like you feel like you've achieved something. And I think in agriculture, if you're on the hunt to, you know, have that feeling and you know, produce something that you're proud of, there's just so many avenues you can go down in agriculture to do that. And I think being satisfied at the end of a day with what you've done during the day or weeks before or years before, you know, I only have to talk to my uncles and my old man or neighbours or whatever of how, you know, land's been developed over, you know, the last 50 years and what it looked like before to what it looks like now and the regeneration of grasses and trees and things and you just think the tireless or the amount of hours and just the effort that's been put into to make a fence just look dead straight and standing up and all that. Yeah, yeah, like that. It is. You just get such a satisfaction from it. I haven't done a lot of fencing, but I know when you look somewhere and there's no fence and then after 6 hours of belt 9 posts in and running a few wires as a fence, you get a feeling like I've built that, I've done that. And I think, yeah, agriculture in so many different facets can you can achieve that with it.
Mm, love that. Have you got... I don't have any questions for you. Have you got any questions you want to ask me?
Oh, no.
I can hit stop recording.
Oh, Jesus. Nah, not really.
Oh, that's good.
That's
pull
it up. Oh, yeah. I've been full of words most of this, but I don't have any questions. Just thanks very much for having me. It was good to yarn.
It's been good. I think we were bouncing around on messages there for a while. You're in Japan, or you're in Canamble, then you're in Japan, and then you're back, and then Canamble and Sydney. We locked you down. So thanks for coming for a chat.
Nah, unreal. I did real good.
There you go. Football star, country man, and since we recorded this podcast, Ned's actually headed back up. He's been recalled to the Wallabies squad, and he's up there on the Gold Coast training away hard. We've got our fingers crossed that Ned's going to get the call up. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate, review it, and share it amongst your friends. We'd love to see more people discovering the Humans of Agriculture podcast and hearing some of these incredible stories from people from all walks of life. Look after yourselves, stay safe, stay sane, and we can't wait to join you again next Wednesday.